When you look back at the recent congressional shutdown of the federal government, it seems like such petty politics, so random, unnecessary, and futile. Yet it is the same mentality that created many of the lines we know now as international boundaries. The 49th parallel that separates the U.S. from Canada being one line we'll discuss today as we chat with a man who has dedicated the bulk of his life to a bioregional understanding of the part of the world some call Cascadia, which includes parts of Northern California, Oregon, Idaho, Montana, west of the Continental Divide, all of Washington, most of British Columbia, and the Alaska Panhandle. David McCloskey, former professor, I should say professor emeritus at Seattle U. I'm so honored to sit down and talk with you and have tea and discuss Cascadia.
Well, we're sitting here almost at Dia de los Muertos in Eugene at the end of the Willamette Valley, and the last light is sifting through the golden trees. And I began by giving you an orientation to where you are at the upper end of the Willamette Valley.
I almost wish I was recording that, because everything that's coming out of you is really remarkable. It's rooted in place and is a real education for me, so I'm grateful.
Well, I start from place, because place is where we live and where we need to learn to dwell. Starting from political boundaries transposes us into an abstract space. And so much of our lives, so much of our education is caught up in abstractions and idealities. Our moralities are idealities for the most part, which are ungrounded. And so when you start from where you are, you start from the real world, try to get your feet on the ground, and try to establish some fundamental or originary relationship with the place. To me, the place is alive. And I think that is the tradition of most of humankind, that the places where we live are alive, that it is a living earth. And the bioregion is not only a life place, but is itself alive. So when I think of Cascadia, I think of the waters pouring down our mountains. And so Cascadia is not first an idea or a political entity in any traditional sense. It is a verb, a phenomenon. It is a standing forth of energies. And the bounding of those energies creates this house. And that house has a particular character on context. And it's that house or oikos in which we live that we need to recover a fundamental relationship with. And so that's the essence of the bioregional vision, and that is the essence of Cascadia. So you think of Cascadia first as a verb, not as a political entity, as a spatial construct, as an idea, as a utopia, all these projections onto the idea of Cascadia, and it's just taken on these accretions over and over and over again as people engage in their wish fulfillments and have to begin to unlearn their own culture, which is basically separating us from these places.
Wish fulfillment, projections.
Projections.
Psyche projections. Huh?
Psyche projections. And they're not inherently bad. For what people are searching for is a place to call home, in which there's a window to an acceptable future, in which we can not just survive, but thrive. I don't know about sustainability, but I'm calling for like restoring our forests for 1,000 years. Let's think about 1,000 years, not a couple generations or our children or grandchildren. But what would it mean to dwell in this place a millennium from now or two?
Mm-hmm. You use the word oikos, which Gary Snyder talks about. Talks about that being the root of the word ecology. So Earth Household is a Gary Snyder book, and he's very much steeped in a bioregional point of view. That's a place we could go, and a place that we might follow up with. But you also talked about abstraction, that could be a long sidebar as well. And you being a former academic, I don't know, can you be a former academic person? Once an academic, always an academic? You said on the walk that you could out-abstract just about anybody. The abstraction going back to the Greeks, the separation of myth and logos?
Yeah. Gary one time told me that we were up in the Queen Charlotte's on a boat, and he said, I just had to admit it lately that I'm a scholar. And I thought that was the way, because he is, and that tremendous depth of Asian, Chinese, etc., Zen scholarship. And so many of our poets in the region have such a deep familiarity with those traditions. And I think with native traditions, and they've come on even more. You've got a book of sculpture and prints here that's very important. When you begin with political boundaries and those entities as defining our identities in the place, telling us who we are here together and what our frame and purpose and ground is, then we've transposed our lives into those abstractions. And I think it's a fundamental mistake to think first in terms of political boundaries. So I would not start the description of Cascadia in terms of the slices of states, but rather the Pacific slope, the Pacific rim of fire, the great forests that clothe the place, the native peoples that dwelled here for 10,000 years. And so it's basically the life and the life forms of the place that define the place as a bioregion, as an oikos that has its own life, characteristic life and context. Mm-hmm. So it's interesting to see people struggle with the notion of a place, life place, of Cascadia as a bioregion, etc. Because the first take that people have is their conventions. Those then reveal all the categories and the abstractions and the idealities that displace us, that take us out of the place, that really lead to the undoing of ecology, of the creation of a grounded culture here, the cause of our environmental crises, etc. So our relations with the place and relations with each other are undone by all these transpositions into abstract categories. And people need to get their feet on the ground. And the ground here is wonderful. It's a beautiful place.
We see the ultimate manifestation of that abstraction in patriots and people who use, you know, patriotism is a religion, and I'm thinking of the quote, patriotism is the last refuge of scoundrels. Mm-hmm. And we see that at its all-time epidemic high with the kind of jingoism and anti-immigrant sentiment that we have in the United States. So it's interesting what starts out as an abstraction, how it manifests into, you know, drone warfare and bombing wedding parties and you know, war on forests and many manifestations of that dominator impulse.